Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, man. Breaking a little bread in here at Buffalo Wild Wings up here in New Caney. Come on through. $59.99 if you're in that neck of the woods. Come on through. Hang out with us. There's still a few sweet seats out there. There's drinks are cold, and the food is good. The company is better. You know what I mean?
I'm going to say good people, man. Good people in here, man.
Come on through. So here's what's up, man. Bud Light gave us a pair of tickets to give away for the Indy game, which is in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
They're on the road for 2 weeks. Actually, it's 3 weeks.
Two weeks from this game, but yeah, yes. three weeks from the date, roughly.
The next Texans home game, the Indianapolis Colts. So a division opponent. Not sure what that game's going to mean because it seems like the Texans real early in the season are running away with this division, and everybody else looks like they're struggling more and more as the season goes on. But it's always good to play the Colts, especially if you're expected to beat up on them. So anyway, we're giving away those two tickets along with two wristbands to the Bud Light tailgate party before that game. So all you got to do is pay for parking. They got the party and they got the game. Bud Light's got the party and Bud Light's got the game. So you can win those tickets. We're going to give those away in the 5 o'clock hour. You got to be here to win. In the meantime, over the next hour, I'm going to give away another $25 gift card, Visa gift card. We got Bud Lights being handed out in here. We got some tickets to a U of H game. I think the K-State game, I believe, is what we still have left. But come on through. We're giving away some tickets. We're having a good time. Big shout-out to Bud Light for making it happen. As the big voice guy said there, I love to have a party.
Yeah.
I love to. Now, my definition of party has changed over the years. And
Buttery nipple?
Yeah. No, I'll still partake. I will still partake in a buttery nipple.
My
too.
Guy.
You know, have you ever had one?
Oh, of course.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, on a cruise, a buttery nipple on the ocean? What?
Oh, you got to be on the ocean?
I'm just saying. It's just the vibe of it.
Oh, I mean, you know, yeah, there's no doubt about
that. I think my first one was on a cruise, on one of those Carnival cruises. The first time I ever heard of one. First time I ever had one.
I'll be honest with you.
And I've been drinking them ever since.
I ain't never found a bad spot for a buttery nipple.
Yeah, that just happened to be when I was introduced.
That may be the best.
And ever since then, I'm like, man, a buttery nipple by some water?
Yes.
Give it to me.
The Texans are 4-1, obviously. One spot where the Texans have been great on both sides of the ball, where they have been great, is in pressure situations, right? And I mean literal pressure situations. Like, the Texans' defense has pressured their opponent on 35% of dropbacks this season. That's top 10 in the NFL. I believe that's 8th in the NFL. DeMeco Ryans, B. Scott, has had to change his stripes a little bit this year and be a little bit more pressure-oriented for one reason or another. I don't know yet exactly what that means. We'll find out as the season goes along. But he's definitely been a little more pressure oriented, and I think he's got some dudes right now on that defense that can apply pressure in a major, major way. So the Texans defense in applying pressure has been really, really good.
Yeah, I think it's a personnel thing, Clint. Like, think about just the fact that Jalen Petrie is your nickel defender, and the fact that your base defense and your nickel defense is essentially the same thing, because Jalen Petrie is serving some type of hybrid role of third linebacker and nickel defender. And so just think about the personnel and what makes sense for them. It makes sense for them to be a higher pressure. Azeez Al-Shaair and him kind of being on the same page as DeMeco Ryans and really knowing what to expect from him. Like, I think it just makes sense personnel-wise, and it kind of maybe masks some of the issues they have on the back end, maybe possibly in coverage and not having super speed guys on the back end. Try to get pressure up front. and see if you can wreak havoc that way.
Yeah, and they've done a good job of the 11-man pressure, right? Whether we're talking about covering down on the defense or we're talking about causing pressure from inside the box, they've been really good as an 11-man unit as a team. They have pressured the heck out of folks.
Yeah.
I would imagine that keeps on keeping on.
You feel like it has to, Clint, against, again, a Patriots team that not only is not very good, but specifically in this area, the offensive line, young, somewhat of a turnstile. Yeah. Nick Caserio was on our airwaves earlier in the week speaking about this specifically in a nice and delicate way.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
But basically saying, hey, they're trying to figure things out along the offensive line. And then the big story in New England, we cannot shy away from this, is the rookie quarterback being thrown into a situation where, let's be clear, he didn't win this job.
Yeah.
The guy ahead of him lost the job. So it makes you wonder, okay, should he have had the job in the first place, or is this just kind of a situation where they just have nowhere else to turn? But either way, you've got to be able to bring pressure against an offensive line that is not very good and a quarterback that is seeing it for the very first time.
Yeah, look, the reality of it is against Drake May. Like, D'Amico Ryans, schematically, versus a rookie quarterback, if any ilk, I don't care who it is, I love D'Amico Ryans in that situation. Now, you look at Drake May, the quarterback that it actually is, and I like it even more. I completely disagree with whatever that viral video or audio was going around about CJ saying that Drake May's the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft, in last year's draft. I completely disagree. I think he's the only guy literally in the whole draft that's a developmental quarterback.
Right.
I understood why he wasn't starting from the jump. And so I still think nothing's changed other than Jacoby Brissett hasn't played well. So I think I really like D'Amico Ryans versus New England and Drake May. I really like the pressure that they've been able to apply to quarterbacks. I really like the way that theoretically plays out against a rookie quarterback. So I would imagine that the Texans defense will continue to pressure, not just Drake May, but moving forward. They've been so good at it. And even in critical moments, they've been so good at creating pressures. And it's such a – obviously it fits them as a group because they're doing it as an 11-man. I would expect that they continue to be that style of defense. Now,
it's part of the reason why Josh Allen had one of his worst games of his career was some of the pressure that they were able to put on him last game.
Yeah, great point. Clearly, Josh Allen, as a veteran, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, he felt the pressure.
Yes.
Clearly, Drake May will. You mentioned one guy, Kamari Lassiter, did not practice again today. We'll have that full Thursday injury report coming up a little later in the show. But Kamari Lassiter did not practice again today. Apparently there's a shoulder issue. It's a little bit more significant than I expected or than we knew. But Kamari Lassiter not playing, how do you think that impacts their ability or desire, if you will, to dial up pressure?
Yeah, and see, I was on with you and Ron yesterday talking about this very thing, because if you're just kind of following the thread here, they bring Kadar Holman back. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter now in back-to-back days is not out there.
Yeah.
And this has been an issue with the team, at least for me, going all the way back to the end of training camp, like the end of the preseason, end of training camp, coming into the season, looking at their depth at corner, seeing how the Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson signings did not work out the way I was hoping that they would, probably the way that they were hoping they would, and the depth of that position all of a sudden doesn't look all of that great, to the point where you're having to go back and get Kadar Holman and Desmond King ends up on the practice squad after not being on the team, and like you're basically at some point, like Chris Boyd is an option and a possibility. D'Angelo Ross, like these are guys who have played football, but not necessarily guys that you feel great about being in this position. So I would think that a recipe for success defensively is pressuring a rookie quarterback who, again, has not done it before. And you got the dudes to do it. We were saying that at the top of this segment. You have the dudes to bring the pressure, and they have the dudes that – or I would say don't have the dudes to withstand it.
Yeah, you mentioned Jeff Okuda in this conversation too. Being eligible to come off the IR and not being – what appearing to not be – you can't play that position after being out for 6 weeks. You can't just jump in and play. So, I'd be shocked off my – tell if he were able to play. So him not being available is a concern for me. I maybe I'm overselling Jeff Okuda, but I would have some pretty solid confidence if he were opposite Derek Stingley.
No, I understand.
And not having him, Kamari Lassiter being out and missed practice again, and no Jeff Okuda coming back off the IR, that cornerback room is thin. The guys you mentioned are great special teams players. Yeah. I don't know that I want them playing corner in a situation where we're pressuring more as a defense and kind of putting those guys on an island. Now, with all that said, D'Amico Ryans did an unbelievable job. I don't know who was more impressive last year in terms of overcoming injuries and doing more with less. Was it Bobby Sloak on the offensive side of the football with the O-line injuries and the wide receiver injuries, or was it D'Amico Ryans having to play like 42 different defensive backs throughout the season? I mean, you ended up late in the season playing, you know, two or three of your five or six defensive backs. I didn't know them.
Yeah, and even the defensive line, even your ends were hurt at that point too.
Yeah.
Because you had Will Anderson dealing with the ankle, and we know Jonathan Grenard would be in and out at times. Like, yeah, no, they that's a good point, actually. Yeah. Which one did the most with or dealt the best with the war of attrition on the offensive or defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, okay. Now, let's speaking of offense and defense, that was the defense. Again, just talking pressure stats here, the Texans have excelled in a couple of different situations. That was the defensive side of the football where they pressured an opposing quarterback on 35% of dropbacks. You think about that, man, that's a big number. I mean, that's a big number to create and generate some level of pressure. Whether you got a one-on-one win or you got a scheme that's getting them. All right, offensively, C.J. Stroud, to no surprise, we talked about this earlier. C.J. Stroud is the third highest-rated quarterback under pressure this year.
Pump sling at seven.
Now, I don't want to confuse that with all of a sudden that, you know, that C.J. Stroud is under pressure more than anybody else.
Right.
That wasn't a qualifier for this list here. But it's just highlighting how good he is under pressure through 3 weeks. His passer rating under pressure is 102.5, and that's third on the list. Jaden Daniels, who somehow, some way, I thought I would never see this. He's having a better rookie season at this point in the season than C.J. Stroud did last year. He is rated higher under pressure at 110.8 rating. And then Joe Burrow, who his team overall is struggling, he's on record of saying he's playing his best football. Under pressure, his passer rating is 121.4. The good thing about C.J. Stroud being in that conversation, whether you think they should adjust how they're playing offensive football or not, pressures are going to happen. And when pressure happens to the Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud is just flat-ass special.
Yeah, and that was my thing and kind of how I was coming into this, feeling like, hey, when there is pressure, or when, like you, as you like to say, when the rubber meets the road,
yes, sir,
you can normally count on C.J. Stroud to perform, to make the precise decision and throw. That's why the interception that he threw was confusing, because, like, you know, normally CJ's making really, really good decisions. And, again, I thought he did for the most part throughout that game. And the stat that you just read shows you that for the most part this season he has been excellent under pressure.
Well, the more chaos your quarterback has to play under, the more he's going to make decisions and misreads and make some poor decisions. And it's just the environment you live in, you're going to be a more volatile person if it's constant chaos in general.
Yeah.
That applies to quarterback. If you're making quick decisions and if you got great protection and the play action is working and you got this nice comfy pocket, you're going to sit back there and do your thing. The more chaotic it gets around you, the more likely you are from time to time, even though C.J. Stroud's still been great now, from time to time, you're going to make poor decisions. You're going to force footballs. You're going to turn it over. You're going to fumble. You're going to do those things. That's just the nature of living life in that chaos.
Dude, the Sunday game against Buffalo is the perfect example of what you're talking about, though, because the first half, he's 10 for 10 at one point, 11 for 12. They're dealing. They're up by two touchdowns, but there's no chaos. They don't have any penalties. The protection is holding up well for the most part. But then what happens?
Nico's going off.
But Nico goes off early. Okay, they're able to establish that lead. But then what happens in the second half? And we were celebrating it at halftime. Remember, everybody's talking about, oh, they went the whole half without no penalties.
Yeah,
this team that leads the league in penalties didn't have any penalties. Then what happens in that second half? The penalties come back. The wheels come back. The wheels come off. The penalties come back. You have Blake Fisher, who, God bless him, is out there trying, fighting, but is not ready yet in that moment. And so CJ's having to deal with the pressure on the right side of that offensive line.
That's a great point, B. Scott. I'm going to go back. I want to go back and watch that game.
It's a tale of two halves almost.
It's definitely, box score wise, a tale of two halves. I want to go back and watch. It's a great point you make. I want to go back and watch and see if there is a did they perform so well in the first half that all of a sudden in the second half they were like, oh, we're going to get real confident and really light these guys up, and it got sideways? Or was it really just Fisher getting beat and maybe they made some adjustments that forced him to hold the ball? Like,
that's
what
it.
What exactly was the tale of two halves? Clearly the box score says that, but I want to go back and just see, like, how many times in the first half was he ball out, and in the second half there was somebody there and he wasn't? I know it happened, but I don't know how many times it happened.
You'll see in the third quarter, even when they start to stagnate a little bit, they're moving the ball, but then there's one or two things that happens here. A pressure here, or giving up a pressure, or a penalty there that stalls a drive and puts them behind the eight ball, and then all of a sudden, turnover. And of course, you got Buffalo that's figuring it out on offense at the same time. You know, you get that play by the rookie. And of course, Josh Allen does his thing for a moment there. So, yeah, man, like the margins are really slim. It's a thin line between here and there. I'm telling you.
All right, we've got an official injury report. Thursday injury report. All the hay is in the barn for the two big work days for the Houston Texans. We've had a lot of unofficial announcements in terms of injuries. Now we've got an official injury report from the Houston Texans after a Thursday practice. And I told y'all a little story earlier about getting chased by a German Shepherd, and I never got to the punchline. I'm gonna wrap that. I'm gonna put a bow on that story too, because Tyler, that's your ass. I'm gonna put a bow. I'm gonna put a bow on that thing when we come back right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, Ron Ugly's out. Brandon Scott is in. I tell you what, the place is filling up. Y'all better come on through. 59-99, New Caney, Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on through. Hang out with us. We got a little Thirsty Thursday rocking and rolling. We're going to give away some tickets, Texans tickets. Texans Colts. Yeah, I hear you, Mark. We're going to give away some Texans tickets to the next home game. And one of our winners from last week just walked through, talked about how awesome – the seats were. Obviously, it was a great game. So I'm just here to tell you, if you're living right, you might win some tickets here in this 5 o'clock hour. We got another $25 gift card to give away as well. Who done this? The heck with it, man. Let's just give away $25 like it ain't no big deal. Yeah. Huh?
And the next home game, by the way, is against the Colts.
Yeah.
So that is a key AFC South matchup, rivalries. And obviously, we on the better side of things these days. So you want to see the Texans with an opportunity. I don't take it for granted, but with an opportunity to beat up on the Colts right here at NRG Stadium, so don't miss that opportunity.
All right, we've given you guys a ton of unofficial return to practice news, but now we've got the official Texans Thursday injury report. Again, why does it matter? Because Wednesday and Thursday are your two big, heavy work days for the Texans, and you need to know who's out. Thursday's a pretty good tell for who's actually at least trending towards playing and has a chance to play. And B. Scott, everything that we told the people earlier appears to be holding up officially. The unofficial mentions that we had earlier, they're holding up to be official at this point in time. I think the big one here is Joe Mixon and the offensive line.
Yep.
Right? Joe Mixon was back at practice today. He was limited, but he's back at practice. And then yesterday you had three offensive of your starting five offensive linemen that were not practicing. And all of those guys were back in limited capacity today. Tytus Howard was limited. They weren't all in limited capacity, because Tytus Howard was limited. Kenyon Green was limited. Laremy Tunsil was full.
Yep.
B. Scott, when we talk about what the Texans, the step they need to take, where they need to continue to get better as this season unfolds, they're creating an identity, right? We hear Bobby Slowick and I think it's kind of a buzz phrase around the NFL of, you know, it takes 4 to 6 weeks before you really know who you are, yada, yada, yada.
I just answered this one also, but
I know you did, Bobby, but sometimes I don't like your answers, man.
They said 8 weeks, man.
Yeah,
well, they wanted us to wait forever.
Now it's 8 weeks. I mean,
dang it, Bobby,
that's
exactly what we don't want.
It's just, it's so hard for me to wrap my head around. However, the nonsense is that it takes 6 to 8 weeks for a team to figure out who they are.
Yep.
Well, it's week six, y'all. It's week six, and we appear to have our offensive line whole, and we appear to have a running back room that is trending towards being full go. Because, again, Joe Mixon was limited and Dameon Pierce was full for the first time in several weeks. So, Brandon, when we talk about this team getting revved up and this team getting to a point where they're playing their best ball late in the season, a big part of that is going to be about this offensive line and this running back room, one, being healthy, but two, getting this running game going.
Yeah, we've already talked a lot about what Joe Mixon obviously brings to the table, having Dameon Pierce back, having the whole running back room back and what that means. But specific to the offensive line question, like I think a secondary headline from this week is Titus Howard returning to practice. Because think about it, that's the one who didn't practice, who also didn't play on Sunday. And you can think whatever you think about Titus Howard, but I do not think that C.J. Stroud fumbles that ball at the end of the game if it's Titus Howard at right tackle and not the rookie who wasn't ready, the rookie who they had been picking on throughout the entire game. And that's not to pick on him now. That's just to say that that is a good thing for the Texans to have Titus Howard back on top of all of these things that we talk about with the run game, right? Like, you're not going to be able to run the football with your second-rate offensive linemen and running backs. Like, that's just – that is not reasonable to ask. So to be able to get that back, again, especially on a week when you're losing Nico Collins, I think is very, very important.
Before we move on this injury report, I want to hear, Tyler, grab that Joe Mixon real quick. Somebody, who was it that caught up, Chandler?
But yeah, this was Chancellor Johnson.
Chancellor.
And this was a media scrum, but this is an exchange with Chancellor Johnson on Joe Mixon being ready to be back and how much he missed being out there over the last few weeks.
How tough was it the past couple of weeks sitting out and not being able to play?
What you think?
I'm going to hear from your perspective, though.
You know, I was number one in the league in rushing. I want to be out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, other than obviously I was stopped because of that weak ass hip drop tackle. You know what I'm saying? So I can't do nothing about that. I want to be out there more than anybody. You know what I'm saying? So obviously it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm going to just keep on working. And when it's time to, you know, be out there, I'm going to do what I got to do to show them the best on the field. Simple as that.
Yeah, Clint. I think you want everybody that's involved in the run game to have that type of attitude going into it, from offensive line to running back to everybody around them that's involved in enforcing some type of run game.
There ain't no doubt about it, man. That is the good – a little more good news here. Derek Barnett, one of the reserved edge rushers, which I think is important to the team moving forward. You need that depth. Derek Barnett is and Jerry Hughes, and those guys are really, really, really good depth. And Derek Barnett was limited in practice today. So that's trending towards playing, at least moving in the right direction. Now, the bad news here with the Houston Texans injury report, Thursday injury report, Robert Woods did not practice. Jimmy Ward did not practice. And Kamari Lassiter, your starting corner opposite Derek Stingley, did not practice today. Let's start right there with Kamari Lassiter, just real quick on the significance of him not being there and us really not knowing what the hell the answer is going to be.
Yeah, I got serious questions about the depth of that position. Like, I cannot sit here and tell you right now who's going to be the corner that's going to start opposite of Derek Stingley. Is it going to be Kadar Holman, who they just brought in? Is it going to be Chris Boyd or Miles Bryant, like somebody that's already on the team? Like, I am not sure what the plan is, and this has been a concern of mine really going into the season. What is the depth at corner once you get past the fact that, you know, they let C.J. Henderson go and Jeff Okuda's been injured? I do not know what this is going to look like, and the reason why this is an issue is because it looks like it's not trending in the right direction. He didn't practice today. It looks like he's probably going to be out.
Well, that makes two starters, with Kamari Lassiter trending in a direction of not playing as well as Jimmy Ward not playing. And you may first look at that and go, hey, man, I like Kalen Bullock anyway, which I do. But don't forget now, this is a team where they're going to stick to the run. And if they get you, it's going to be a hard play action throw over the top. And guess what? Kalen Bullock has been susceptible to, whether it's in the red zone or it's in between the 20s, he's been susceptible to getting the ball thrown over his head. So we'll see how that holds up. No Jimmy Ward could be a problem, although I do like the high ceiling of the rookie safety playing in his position. And the other part of that is Robert Woods. Look, that $7 million insurance policy has paid off on two fronts already this year for the Texans. When Tank Dell went down, obviously didn't have a monster game or anything, but he contributes. You plug him in, you don't worry about him. You know he's going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. And then last week, There was a couple of returns in the return game, punt and kick return, that were really, really – I think they were both punts. But in the punt return game, that was really – that came up really big.
Yeah, just I would say two underrated aspects of Robert Woods' game is the fact that C.J. Stroud has a trust level with him on third down. That was the case early on in the season last year. And then that part about him in the return game.
Yeah.
Like I think because he's older, you forget that he has that – club in his bag,
yep.
But he absolutely has it, and he showed it to you last week.
Hey, Tyler, I know that's Brandon Scott. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. I told a little story earlier about getting chased by a German Shepherd today on my little jog walk, and I think I expressed how dead ass serious I was. It was a bad situation I was in, and the little lady that couldn't walk and couldn't speak English, trying to get the dog off of me, it lasted longer than I would like. But where I was going with all of that, Tyler, is I've been chased by dogs three times in the last, I'd say, month on my little jog walks.
That's
here.
Three bad owners.
And I'm glad you said that, because I'm gonna be real honest with you. I don't do this on purpose, because these are like really emotional, like high intense, like moments.
Yeah.
I think of Tyler every time, and I dog cuss him.
What?
As I'm staring that German Shepherd in the face yesterday, I'm like, Tyler, sorry, Tyler.
It's not one of my bitches chasing you.
I was going to say, I feel like Tyler would have his in line. Tyler would have – I don't feel like Tyler would be out there. If you jog past Tyler's house, I feel like you're going to be safe.
Well, exactly.
I just feel like I'm in a bad situation, and I can hear Tyler make an excuse for the dog, like blaming it on its owner, which I understand.
There's no such thing as bad dogs. It's just bad owners.
See, when that thing was staring
bad treatment.
When that thing was staring me in the face, it looked like a bad dog.
No, and I get that. I've been chased by some scary dogs over in Pinehurst and Baytown growing up. Like, that's a scary moment, so I understand, but I do truly believe there is no such thing as just an inherently bad dog.
Hey, can I tell you, Clint? I got to tell you this. I thought about you this morning. I found a possum in my trash can outside.
Oh,
and I thought about you and having to get the raccoons from under your rental property.
Yeah.
I was like, man, what would Clint do right now? And I just took the trash can and shook him out of there.
I want a pet raccoon.
But I got to tell you, man, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting to see that possum. Like, man, is being around Clint having like country rural things happen to me now?
You should let him in that can and put him in the car and take him about 15 miles away, and he won't find his way back to your crib.
That's what I was. I was like, man, where did he come from?
Hey, that's what I was told. Catch him raccoons and take him at least 15 miles away was the number that kept coming up. You got to take them 15 miles away or they'll come back. I was like, damn, they're pretty.
You can domesticate them.
You take me a couple. No, I don't want to do that. You take me a couple of miles away. I ain't coming back. You ain't going to go all the way 15.
I just let them run across my yard to the neighbors.
Pretty
go in their trash. I don't care where you go. Just don't be over in my trash can. It's all good.
That is great. All right, the Texans. They got the New England Patriots this weekend. And I'm telling you, the Patriots have been they've had a run of bad luck lately. Let's catch everybody up on the Texans' opponent this week and really what they're up against. I'm telling you, it's dysfunctional in New England, folks. It is big-time dysfunctional in New England. We'll discuss that next. Right here on Sports.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out and Brandon Scott is in. Bud Light is once again on a Thirsty Thursday has given us some big-time giveaways. We've got two $25 gift cards. We've got one more. I'll give that $25 gift card away in the next segment. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, we got a pair of tickets to the Texans-Colts game as well as a pair of bracelets that'll get you into the Bud Light tailgate for that particular game. So that's pretty cool. You'll actually have a couple of weeks to plan and make sure that it's on your schedule and make sure everything's coordinated to get down there. But Bud Light is making it happen for all our listeners out there.
Hey, man, Scott, for all of the criticism, and I don't know if I need to go here, but for all of the criticism that you hear about the crowds at NRG Stadium, which I think is a little bit overplayed, but part of that is because the tailgate scene is right on time. So this is the other side of that discussion, the other side of that argument. If you want to talk about what the crowds look like early on in the game, go check out that tailgate scene at NRG Stadium, and the Bud Light Lilleria is chief among them.
Yeah, well, look, we hear a lot about not getting in there early enough. I think there's probably a good reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, look,
like to have a good time. We like community. We can be inside the stadium. We can be outside the stadium. We could be right here at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's
man, we can have a good time wherever we sit.
That's right. So if you're out there listening, come on through. Come in the front door. We got a raffle box right here in front of us. Make sure you get your name in the raffle box. Again, we got a $25 gift card as well as two tickets and two bracelets that'll get you into the Texans Colts games as well as the Bud Light tailgate party before the game. We'll do all of that in the next hour. So make sure that you come on through. If you're out there, we're at New Caney Buffalo Wild Wings, 59 and 99. If you're in that area, come on through and hang out with us.
Clint, I did want to clean something up before we get started because we were having that discussion about cornerback and who plays after Kamari Lassiter.
Yes.
The depth chart, the unofficial depth chart, does have D'Angelo Ross as the guy behind Kamari Lassiter. This is a question that we're all trying to figure out the answer to, and I don't know if any of us have a great answer to it, but unofficially, I should say, behind Kamari Lassiter is D'Angelo Ross and then Kadar Holman. So that's what you're looking at if Kamari Lassiter is unable to play. And again, that's back-to-back days where he's been a DNP or where he has not practiced or participated in practice. So you have to assume that one of those two guys is going to have to fill that
void. Yeah, and you look at the secondary. I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here, but you look at the secondary, and now you're going to have a backup corner that was backing up a second-round pick rookie.
Yeah.
You're going to have a Kalen Bullock, a backup safety, a rotational safety to start the season that's going to be in for Jimmy Ward more than likely.
And a rookie himself.
A rookie himself. And then you got Eric Murray and Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley. So you got a secondary that we've seen D'Amico a lot of times cover up for injuries, you know, cover up for shortcomings. He's going to have his work cut out for him this week. Now, where we're going with this particular segment is the New England Patriots and their offense. And this is, I mean, obviously 1-4. And the film is not good. There's a reason why Ron Ugly thinks that the Texans should win by 15, and there's a reason why Brandon Scott thinks the Texans should win by 10 or more.
Yep.
Right? But let's just update folks on what's going on in New England because on the offensive side of the football, because, look, they're a mess. Now, I guess we should probably start with the obvious of Drake May, a rookie quarterback that wasn't ready to play a month ago, is now being forced into action because Jacoby Brissett, from what I've heard, I've not watched all of their films, so I don't want to overspeak here, but from what I've heard, Jacoby Brissett has no more rubber left on the tires.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, they can't score points.
Apparently,
they can't score points.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he is just, he can't get it done. I mean, he don't move well enough. He don't throw it well enough. They have been put in a position where Drake May, even though he's underdeveloped and not ready to play, gives them the best chance to win a football game at the quarterback position. So that is not good. The fact that Drake May is having to play, and we're going to get to Drake May in a minute, but also Jabril Peppers.
Oh, yeah. On the commissioner's list.
On the commissioner's exempt list, which means he can't play. He got popped for some level of assault, reportedly.
Domestic violence and cocaine possession.
Yes. And I don't know the details of all of the domestic violence stuff, but apparently had a little cocaine in his wallet while they were searching.
Headed to the slammer.
Is supposed to be a captain of that football team, so that obviously tells you a little bit about what's going on in New England. But let's get to this offense. Drake May, two seasons as a starter at North Carolina. Again, I believe he's the most, by far, because the other guys are playing and playing well, the most developmental quarterback in this year's draft, and that's who D'Amico Ryans and this defense is preparing for, B. Scott, is Drake May. They've also got a lack of talent at the wide receiver position and on the O-line from jump. That was considered a weakness for the New England Patriots coming into this season, given the guys that were healthy. And now they've had injuries at O-line throughout the 5 weeks of the season. Literally, they've got one offensive lineman on the PUP list. They got three on IR, and they've got one on reserve left the squad list, whatever the hell that means. They just had to sign an offensive lineman, Ben Brown, off the Raiders practice squad. So their offensive line and wide receiver room was not good from jump. And now their offensive line is just decimated with injuries. And so this offense is – there is no reason that D'Amico Ryans, in every sense of the phrase, shouldn't just absolutely destroy this offense.
Yeah, I was going to say, Clint, if there's going to be a week where you're going to have to be without your number two corner, it's good to have it against a rookie quarterback who doesn't have a lot of weapons to begin with, with an offensive line that's not very good. Like, if you're going to be without a critical piece like that, it's kind of soothing to go up against a team that is this beleaguered, if you will. But, yeah, man, I look at it this way. If I'm Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter, and if I'm hearing any of the conversation around me right now, defensive end unit, is this tandem overrated? Or are they playing up to their potential? Now, I think that they are, close, and the pressure rate, we talked about the pressure rate, a lot of that is coming from inside. And I think the inside guys are outplaying what you thought you'd see, and the outside guys are maybe not playing as up to what you thought you'd see. But going up against this cast of characters, like you just described it, Clint, the offensive line issues, the rookie quarterback who didn't so much win the job but had to be thrust into it because the guy that's in the job isn't getting it done, and no real weapons to speak of. You should be salivating if you're Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter with an opportunity to really take it to this offense. Like, I'm really looking for a big game for the defensive line, not just pressure rate or some type of analytic that you can give me, some type of number that you can give me that tells me, hey, they're disruptive. Because I can see where there's some disruption, but I want to see more flat-out production from the defensive ends who will tell you themselves, even for them, it comes down to getting sacks, to getting home. That's how you complete a play. I want to see them do a lot more in this game, Clint.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to pull out all the stops. However, if they want to drop seven into coverage and rush four and expect their four to get home, they should be able to do that, right?
Yeah,
if they
want
to work on some pressures and create turnovers and try to get, you know, a big lead, a big momentum swing in play early on, they should be able to do that. You look at the cover defenders. I know Kamari's out, but they should be able to cover these receivers like gloves, like they did last week against Buffalo. It should be very, very similar.
They should do all of that.
Yeah.
They should check every single one of those boxes at some point in the game.
Yeah, there's. I don't disagree with your 10-point and Ron Ugly's 15-point thought there. I agree wholeheartedly. But when it's all said and done, it's, you know, football, typically when I feel this strongly and I hear people that feel that strongly, that means it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most of the time from a betting perspective, like, we're here at 6.5. In my opinion, I'm looking at that with the Texans and the Patriots, and I'm taking into account, you know, the Texans have not played well. They have not played their best football. Like, they're 4-1, but they haven't played their best football. I still look at that and go, 6.5 seems really low.
Yeah, to me it seems extremely low. Like, I don't see how this is not a double digit game. I've factored in. Where to me the X factor is, though, Drake May. Because we're all expecting, you know, rookie quarterback going up against a defensive coach with a good defense, a high-performing defense right now. Like, the advantage should very clearly be advantage Texans in that matchup. But there is an element of unknown, an element of surprise. And I want to be careful about the quarterback thing, too, Clint, because we did it a few times last year. I bring it up every time this comes up. But I watched a very good Texans team, what turned out to be a very good Texans team last year, nothing like this one in terms of how it's collected, but lose to Bryce Young, lose to Desmond Ritter, lose to Zach Wilson. And I understand that the Vikings are playing very well, but, you know, lose to Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold, I think, is better than those guys. But the point is, it's not so much as simple as that, I should say. It's not as simple as, hey, well, you got C.J. Stroud, they got Drake May, hey, you should win the game. Like, there's a lot of other things that have to go right, that are supposed to go right, and I think that they should. Like, they've got pretty much every matchup advantage, probably except for their run defense against this rushing attack that the Patriots got. But everywhere else you look up around the field, it should be advantage Texans. I don't see how they lose by less than 10 games.
All right,
or I'm sorry, by then less than 10 points.
Yeah, 10 games be tough.
10 games would be rough.
In one Sunday.
But 10 points, though. 10 points is doable. You can do that. You can do that, Texans.
Yeah, it is. 10 points. Yeah, it is. That's Brandon Scott. He's in for Ron Ugly today. Tyler Milner. Good gosh, you got me. Tyler Milner is on the ones and twos. All right, we got the 5 o'clock fire coming up next, y'all. We got an injury report. We've got a little Bobby Slowick audio. We got to hear from the OC, man. This is a big week for them, as well as Thursday night football, 49ers at the Seahawks. We'll catch it all next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.